Good morning. Well, it's been a while since I've seen you. I think it was last year. But I will say that phrase that you've heard many times, Happy New Year. And as I thought about what I would speak on this morning, I thought about really the opportunity to be preaching on the beginning of the new year. And so I want to deal with some resolutions that we might have in the new year. And those who are accustomed to my preaching know that I generally build it around 3 points. So I'll continue to do that today. I would like to first say to you that as you face this 2023 year, that you build your foundation on faith. Now, all of you probably think, well, yes, I have faith, and perhaps we've automatically thought of faith as being more something like believing certain things prior to your being baptized. If you were like me, I took that belief statement that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God prior to my baptism. But faith is much more than merely an affirmation of the things we believe. Actually, I like to use the word trust, because really the kind of faith that we as Christians will get us through 2023, and I'm blessed to be alive and well at the beginning of this year, but it will be the foundation of faith. I love that song that we led at the very beginning, Jesus, hold my hand. Or I think of that song also, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. And an abiding faith is very, very helpful for us as we get through the next year. Now, I would simply say to you no doubt, sometime in 2023, you'll face difficulty. I like the beginning of the book, The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck, and I want to read that. The very first sentence, life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Because once it is accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters. Most do not fully see this truth that life is difficult. Instead, they moan more or less incessantly, noisily, or subtly about the enormity of their problems, their burdens, and their difficulty, as if life were generally easy, as if life should be easy. Life is a series of problems. Do we want to moan about it or solve them? Well, I think that's a biblical truth. It's not merely something that Scott Peck thought of. Because if you read your Bible pretty carefully, you'll see that the people who populate the Bible didn't always have an easy life. Certainly our model, our example, Jesus, had a very difficult life. He had continuing opposition and finally suffered death on the cross. And so we look at that fact and reality. So I can't tell you, maybe your difficulties, and we might hope for that, will be rather small in nature. Unfortunately, sometimes those difficulties are greater than we expect. And how do we get through things like that? The loss of a loved one, the fact that we suffered some disease that we didn't plan for, and all of us are mortal, and so no doubt through either accident or disease, we will eventually pass from this life. So how do we face difficulty? Well, if we are indeed people of faith, we reach down and we build on that as the rock. You remember that Jesus once said that some people have a life that's like a house built on the rock, but others have a life that's built on sand. And when the winds come and the rains come and the floods are about them, suddenly the house is destroyed. And we need to reach down deep and realize that our trust is in God. And our belief is that he will be with us in our life, that he will be there to comfort us, that God will indeed take care of us. You know, Jesus, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, there's a passage in there in which he talks about how that we frequently worry over things that in some case never happen. Or if they do happen, we moan and groan about them. And so he says, don't be worried about what you shall eat, what you shall wear, wherewithal shall you be clothed. He said, rather seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. So we will go through life. We will experience at moments great joy. We will experience exciting opportunities, but we will also come across difficulty. And what really takes us through difficulty? If we have an abiding trust in God, if we really believe God is with us, if we really believe that God comforts us, if we believe that as the Bible proves, and to those that love the Lord, that indeed that God will be with us, then that kind of faith works. If we won't look to an example of faith, I think of the words of Paul over in the Philippian letter. You know, he did not always have the easiest of times. And yet, think about the fact that he had written the Romans in his letter. He wanted to go to Spain and preach the gospel there. And he planned to stop in Rome and then perhaps get their support and efforts as he went on to Spain. But all of a sudden, things changed for Paul. Paul was bringing a gift of love, a gift of money from the Gentile churches to the church in Jerusalem, which was often impoverished. And suddenly, the Jews rose up against Paul. They falsely accused him of bringing a Gentile into the sacred place of the temple. And so he was arrested. And he spent 2 years in the land of Israel. And finally, he had to appeal to Caesar. And he was then sent to Rome. And the book of Acts closes with his spending 2 years in Rome. Well, now, how did Paul react to all that? His plans had been changed. I want you to listen to his letter to the Philippians, in which he talks about what has happened to him. He said, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So here Paul, having been in prison now for 4 years or in the midst of his imprisonment in Rome, he simply says it's worked out for the good. He had the same attitude about an affliction that he had. We don't know exactly what it was. He speaks of it as a thorn in the flesh. And he said, you know, I prayed 3 times to God to remove this. And God said, my grace is sufficient. And so he felt that there was the fact that God had always been, he was grounded in that rock of faith. So as you live 2023, deepen your faith. Realize that God cares for you. Know that as we often worry about things that don't even happen. Well, what if so-and-so happens? What if this happens or that, or I lose my finances, or I suffer some disease, or, and we could go on and name all those lists. Well, the reality is that God is on our side. God will take care of us. If we will ground ourselves in a deep faith, it will be the rock that carries us through the difficulties of life. So the first suggestion that I have about a resolution is deepen your walk with God. Have greater faith. Understand that he is interested in your life, that he loves you, and that he is caring for you, and that to them that love the Lord, all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. A second suggestion that I would make about the new year has to do with habits. I think most of us kind of realize that when we make some resolution for 2023, we're sometime addressing our habits. Now, habits are a good thing in one respect. We form habits, and that means that we don't have to think about things as much. We brush our teeth in the morning, or we buckle our seatbelt when we get in the car. We don't have to even think about buckling our seatbelt. It's just a habit, something we do. And so we don't have to think everything that we do when we form habits. But habits aren't essentially always good. Habits can be quite bad, in fact. As most of you know, I twice a week, and Tuesday, Thursday afternoon, I go and counsel men who are in a program at the Salvation Army, and they're for 6 months, and they're there because they want to be healed of their drug addiction or their alcoholism. Fortunately, when I talk with them, I can compliment them for them recognizing their problem. I can listen, and I learn often about the difficulties they've had in their life. Many of them came from very dysfunctional families. But the habit of alcohol or drugs has almost destroyed their life. It frequently has destroyed their marriage. They've lost jobs. They've become homeless in some cases. In other cases, they've had to go to prison or jail. And so as I listen to them, I want to not merely, I certainly don't spend my time condemning them. I compliment them for the fact that they've recognized that they have a very bad habit. And this habit has been very destructive. And it will be not easy to get rid of. There's an old ancient proverb that says, at the beginning, habits are like cobwebs, but eventually they become like chains. And so that's true. The more we repeat a habit, the more difficult it is to change. And so these are men struggling, and I'm so hopeful. We all generally end with a prayer, and I try to point out to them that they've been forgiven, that God loves them. And they have a deeply ingrained habit, a very harmful, destructive habit. But if you examine your own life, you probably think about maybe a few bad habits that might be good to change, and also some good habits that you'd like to form. And I would suggest, and the formation of good habits, as we think of spiritual habits, perhaps you look at your prayer life and think of ways in which it can be more enriched. And I would suggest that perhaps it's a good time to determine at a certain time each day, I'm going to pray. You know, the Muslims, whatever you might talk about that religion, they faithfully pray five times a day. They've set that aside. And so that kind of regularity, that kind, the prayer life, or perhaps you'll want to think about how you might be more faithful in your Bible reading. Some people enjoy reading the Bible through the entirety of the Bible in a year's time. I don't know about your life, and I don't know the things that you want to change, but I'm just simply saying that now's a good time, the beginning of a year, to give thought to that. How do I want to order my life in the coming year? What are the things that I want to accomplish as far as my spiritual life is concerned? I've read a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear, and I would recommend that book. Not that it gives you a lot of spiritual advice, but it gives you some tips on how habits are formed, how that there are ways in which you can form good habits, also ways by which you might get rid of some habits. So that's a book that I found profitable in reading it and found some tips that I was able to incorporate in my life. So as you look at your own life and you look at, you know, what's 2023 going to be like? It's a time of self-examination at the start of the year. I'm hopeful that the Lord will bless us, each one of us, with a year in 2023. I think that the last suggestion I'm going to make is that you make 2023 a life of joy. Now, we may not think joy is one of the attributes. We think of love, but when Paul names the fruits of the Spirit, he does name love, he does name kindness, but he names joy as something that we should have. And when he wrote the Philippian church, on two or three occasions in that letter, he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Abraham Lincoln, who is rated by most historians as the number one president of the United States, did not have an easy life. He was president during the Civil War. And during that time, his 11-year-old son, Willie, died. It was a great sorrow in his life. But here was a man who, with humility and with wisdom, led the nation in its most trying time. And he has a little statement that I want to quote. He simply said on one occasion, most folks are as happy as they make up their mind to be. And I think as I review life and the people I've known, I don't have to say that there's truth in that statement. I think of joyful people I've known. One of those was a great friend of mine, John Jones. He and I were in college together, and John then became minister of the church at Richland Hills in Fort Worth, which eventually became the largest Church of Christ in the nation. But he always began his sermons with this passage, where he said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And that was one of my father's favorite passages as well, that he loved to quote. And yet it might be a mantra that you ought to adopt in your life and I adopt in my life. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. What a wonderful way to start a day, to realize that God gives us today, God perhaps has given us the entirety of this year. Let us rejoice in it. And John was a person of, he was full of joy. He was a person who laughed frequently. He had a good sense of humor. But he could be serious about his work, but in as a minister, but just to know that even as he reached toward the end of his life and he suffered dementia, I could visit him and I'll tell him a story or so and he'd break out in laughter. It was just a part of his life. And as I might add, my father was that way. He was a very optimistic person. Now, you might say, well, maybe everything went well for him. No, it didn't always go well for him. Early in his life, he married. And after 2 years, there was a birth of a son. And suddenly, his wife had an infection and died. Now, here he was with an infant son, and he was widowed. And yet, 4 years later, he married my mother, and 2 years later, I came along. And I never heard him sit around and moan and say, well, you know, life has really treated me bad. I lost my wife and so forth. No, he was optimistic. He was a person that looked forward to life and felt that things would work out for the good. And then I've known people who, unfortunately, didn't live that way. I'm thinking of a woman that was connected to one of my relatives. She was lived with them, and her life was a litany of complaints. She viewed herself as a victim. Life hadn't treated it fair. She had gone through a divorce, but with her, there was always something that was wrong. Now, you know, we're, as Abraham Lincoln said, we're about as happy as we plan to be. And one of the things that makes us happy is the first thing I mentioned in my sermon is that our walk is with God, that we're blessed with his, with faith in him, with the recognition that whatever betides in our life, that he's with us, that he will comfort us. Yes, as Scott Peck would say, life is difficult, but one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And one of the ways that will make your life happy, if you practice joy, I'm not suggesting that you refuse to recognize difficulties in your life. At times we may suffer the loss of a loved one. We have a disease that strikes us. We may suffer a financial reversal. For instance, we all know that this year has not been a great year for the stocks or even for the value of our home. I read recently that the S&P 500 went down 19% in 2022. And so if our faith was in our finances, we could easily be in a state of shock. We're very much like the man, but remember the story that Jesus told of that farmer who had wonderful crops. And he said, well, things are great for me. He said, you know, I'll just tear down my barns and build bigger ones and I'll have plenty to live. And then Jesus concluded the parable to say, this night your soul is required of you. And then Jesus commented on the fact, he said, man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. So our faith is not in our finances. Our faith is not in the continuance of good health if we enjoy it. I'm very fortunate in that respect, but I know that's not guaranteed the rest of my life. And so here we are. We're at a beginning of a new year. And always that should be a moment of optimism. The Lord has granted us to continue to live. We're standing on the brink of 365 days, perhaps, that we'll get to live. And we can choose how to live that life. Will it be a life of faith? Will it be a life in which we recognize that Jesus is holding our hand, as we sang this morning? Will it be a moment when we think whatever betides, God will be with me, and I will build on the rock of faith. Will it be a time of joy? And it will be a time when we also examine our own habits and genuinely think of those we want to change or maybe those we want to form. I'm confident that 2023 can be a great year in her life. I'm confident that God is with us. And so I guess I'll conclude by just saying Happy New Year.